Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Cornerstone Community Church in Gay Lakes, Virginia. Today, we celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday. We invite you to find out more about our church by going to mycornerstone.org or by visiting our Facebook page. There are many ways to stay connected throughout the week, including our Connect at Cornerstone Facebook group and podcast. Thanks for joining in today, and let's celebrate the fact that God is calling us to wake up and live in the resurrection life. Thanks.
Well, good morning, Cornerstone. Hope you enjoyed seeing some of the Cornerstone kids. Man, we miss you guys, but it's so awesome that you guys could tune in and join us. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Be sure, as Travis, a traditional greeting in the church around the world, we've always done it here as well, has been to say, "He is risen," and then the people would respond, "He is risen indeed." And let's try that right now, wherever you're at. It may seem a little weird, but that's all right. At home, "He is risen," and you would respond, "He's risen indeed." Good job. So that's what we celebrate today. That comes from Luke 24:34, where it says, "The Lord has risen indeed." And that's what we celebrate today. There's so much that is different this year about Easter. We're scattered all around in homes all over the Twin Counties and far beyond that. So it's still, though, I like what someone said, Easter isn't canceled. We just are celebrating it in a little slightly different way today. We have something incredible to celebrate. Christ has risen. He has conquered death and the grave. And because of that, we have life. And that's what we want to talk about. If you're new with us this morning, if you could go to mycornerstone.fyi. That's the site you can go to fill out a connection card this morning. We encourage you to do that. It just helps us get to know you a little bit, and we'll get to meet you that way online. If you haven't yet, another great, great way to get connected is to go to Facebook and join our Connect at Cornerstone group. And so that's a really neat way to stay connected, and we're already sharing ways to serve our community and help. And so you can find out details on that group. So you can go there and join that group today. And so I want to open up this morning with a question for you. I want you to think about this. But are you kind of a heavy sleeper, or are you a light sleeper? How many of you are heavy sleepers that you could sleep through anything? That you are hard to wake up. It doesn't matter what's going on. You're just out of it. And then how many of you are over here where anything at all, you can hear a squirrel step on a leaf in the woods behind your house, and it's going to wake you up? That's, you know, I think a lot of people, you kind of end up one spot or the other. For me, I'm definitely in the heavy sleeper camp. Growing up, I could sleep anywhere. It doesn't matter where we were. I remember one time we were on a boat in the ocean, right? And I just got bored with everything, laid down on the bottom of, you know, the floor of the boat, and just the deck, I guess is what you call it, and just fell asleep. I could fall asleep in a car going anywhere. Doesn't matter if I was facing forward, backward. I just fell asleep. And I still that way. You know, growing up, it didn't matter. I grew up in town here in Gay Lakes, and if you're in town, you know that there's this thing called the fire alarm when it goes off, and it can be pretty loud. And it used to go off and even in the middle of the night, and I would sleep right through it. When I got to college, I had to get my roommate to make sure that I would wake up if we had any fire alarms, because we stayed in an all-male dorm, and unfortunately, people like pulling the fire alarms at night. When it went off, I would sleep right through it. He had to get me up. My whole life, if I need to get up, I usually have to set a couple of alarms to get myself out of bed. I'm just that kind of sleeper. Few nights ago when it was storming outside, same thing. I would have slept right through it. The dog was going crazy, and then finally Emma and Jennifer were up talking about it at 4 a.m. in the morning, and that woke me up. But I'm just a sleeper. And then some of you are kind of that you know, anything wakes you up. Now, if you're a heavy sleeper like me, you also know there's that period between when you wake up and when you're really awake. You know what I'm talking about? You're not all the way awake. You're kind of the in-between. So like when I wake up in the morning, I'm really not awake until after I take a shower. That's finally what kind of gets me awake and going. And that in-between time, I would call it almost like a sleepwalking kind of time, right? You really don't know what's going on, but you're kind of awake, but not really. Here's why I shared all of that. I think a lot of people are in that in-between, right? Spiritually speaking. They're not yet, they're not asleep, but they're not yet fully awake. They're kind of spiritually sleepwalking through life. And I think Easter tells us that it's time to wake up. Easter lets us know that that's really what we've got to do, that we've got to wake up, because just being alive doesn't mean that you're really living. And I hope you understand that. I'm going to go, if you've got your Bibles with you, kind of flip open to Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians today. And over in Ephesians chapter 5, there's an interesting passage. Ephesians is a great book. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. This was a very important church. And it was a church full of believers. And Paul wrote to kind of to encourage them, to tell them what it means and what it really looks like to follow Jesus. And there's a place here in Ephesians 5 where he tells them that they're sleepwalking through life. And it says, I'm going to pick it up in verse 10, chapter 5. And it says this. It says, "Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light will make everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light.'" When I think about this, it makes me realize, right, that as Christians, we've been called from death to life. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when he saves us, there's a transformation that takes place. The Bible says we are now a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. The new has come. And so when we do that, we realize that the darkness that we used to live in is shameful. And we're bringing out all of that stuff into the light so that we can follow Jesus. And I think what Paul is reminding us here is that we've got to rise up. We've got to get out of that sleepwalking state. And we've got to realize what it means to really live for Jesus. And I think Easter is that wake-up call that we all need. Now, with all the stuff going on in the world with COVID-19, with coronavirus, over the last 4 weeks, everything has really flipped upside down. We didn't expect that everything would be shut down. We didn't know that we would be at home on Easter. We didn't imagine that we wouldn't be able to gather in person, yet here we are. And so for some of us, this is a time that we really can kind of step back and do some reflection, that we can really think about what's going on and think about our life. And for some of you, that this is a chance to really understand, what is God saying to me? For some of us, it's a time for us to kind of reinvest in our families, to really appreciate what we have in our families. For some of us, it's a reminder that we shouldn't place our trust in finances or in jobs or in things that we thought were secure that really aren't. For some of us, this is a reminder to slow down, that we need to spend time with God. But for all of us, I think it's reminding us how important meeting together as the church really is. And I'm thankful we have technology, but we also look forward to being back in person again. I think what this has done is it's revealed some of our idols, things that we have allowed to take a place of importance in our life, even in, above God. And so whether that was work and our jobs, or whether that was travel and our leisure, whether it was our sports and our athletic events, whether it was shopping, who knew that we would take shopping for granted, like we have. All of this stuff, it just makes me think, this is a perfect time for us to have a personal revival. This is a time that we can focus on Jesus. This is a time where we can think about how we can love God and how we can love others. This is a time that we need to get back into His Word. And so it's interesting to think about all the events around us are really a wake-up call today. Do you realize that the very first Easter was also a wake-up call? 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, when you think about this, when Jesus came, people were sleepwalking. There was a period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's been called the 400 silent years. And this was the time from the last prophet that spoke in the Old Testament till the arrival of Jesus, where the people were waiting for a word from God and they didn't get one. Think about that, 400 years, generation after generation after generation. The people were wondering, did God forget about us? Does God even care? Does God know about the suffering we're going through? From history, we know that it was a time when the temple was desecrated. We know all these things that were happening to the people, and they're wondering, where is God in all of this? And yet, when Jesus came, the people started following Him and listening to His teaching and watching the miracles He performed. And their question was, could this really be the Messiah? And then when they were gaining hope and getting excited and singing Hosanna in the highest on Palm Sunday, just a few days later, we see on Good Friday that Jesus was murdered, literally. He was killed. He was crucified on a cross. And it seemed like all hope was lost. The people were thinking, this was supposed to be the Messiah. Now He's dead. But Easter morning, when the women went to the tomb and found it empty, that was the time that they realized, right? It was their wake-up call that God has not forgotten us, that God sees us in our suffering, that God knows us and He cares about us, and Jesus really is who He said He was. And it's that time that it's a reminder, it's that wake-up call that Jesus is risen. And as sure as He walked out of that grave, He gives us the promise now to live a new life in Him. And so we have that hope. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave us forgiveness. He gave us salvation. He gave us a resurrection life. And in this letter to the Ephesians, Paul is reminding them, that's the life you now have, but you need to wake up. And if you're following along or wanting to take notes this morning, here's the first thing I want to remind you of. We need to wake up to the good news. We need to wake up to the good news. We have the most incredible news that the world has ever heard, and you're not going to see it on the news broadcast today. This good news is the gospel. That's really what the word gospel means. It means the good news. It's the good news that a messenger would bring about the King. And this is the good news that we have, that we can wake up, right? And we can live in this resurrection life. If we keep going in Ephesians chapter 5, I'll back up and read verse 14 again. Then I want to keep going. Verse 14 says this, "For the light makes everything visible." That's why it's said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." And then it says in verse 15, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks to everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so my question to you this morning, are you kind of saying and doing the right things, but are you in that time in your life where you're awake, but you're not really fully awake spiritually? Because this is a picture of a life that is fully awake. This is a picture of a life that's really living the abundant life that Jesus has promised. It's saying here, what controls you? Hopefully it's not alcohol or drugs, but hopefully what controls you is the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to be filled with. You see, when you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit into your life. As we go through life, life hits us from every direction. And I would say it like this. It's like we're leaking as we go through life a little bit. And over these last few weeks, you probably feel a little drained, right? You feel like you're being hit from every direction, and you may feel a little empty. And so what this verse is reminding us is that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled so that we can live this resurrection life. And it says here, right, when we do that, here's how you're going to respond. You're going to be singing songs. In other words, right, you're going to have that spirit of worship as you go through your day. And you're just going to be reminded of how good God is and what he has done in your life. And then it says you're going to make music to the Lord in your hearts, and you're going to give thanks to everything. It's gratitude. It's worship. It's a lifestyle where we just are constantly amazed by God's presence and God's power and God's favor and everything that he's blessed us with. And so today, I want to just challenge you a little bit, and that's the Easter challenge for us. Are we awake? Are we filled with the Spirit? Are we going through life understanding who God is and what he's done in our life? And are we thankful for that? And are we praising him for that? Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I can tell, you know, when I'm running on empty, right? When I'm running on empty, there's a few things that happen in my life. My frustration level gets really high, right? I'm not really going through the day worshiping and thanking God. My patience is pretty low. My family would tell you that. They can tell when I'm run down a little bit, when I'm overwhelmed, because my patience just goes out the window. But not only my patience is low, my compassion is low. I stop caring. And that's like the warning light to us that God is kind of shaking us, saying, wake up. And yet we just keep going, and we start judging other people. We start getting more selfish. Those are all things that happen when we're not really living, when we're spiritually sleepwalking. And so some of us are at that point. But then there's some people who are still dead asleep. There's still some people that God has tried to get your attention, and he's done it time after time, and you've ignored it. And maybe you've even run from it. And I don't know how you found this live stream this morning, but I want to just talk to you this morning, because God is trying to get your attention. This is your wake-up call that you need Jesus in your life. I was reading a quote this week from a Puritan preacher named Jonathan Edwards. He wrote, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And this is a quote he said, and it just hit me when I read this, because I feel like it's a picture of so many people that don't know Jesus. He said, "Unconverted men walk over the pit of hell on a rotten covering. And there are innumerable places in this covering so weak that they will not bear their weight, and these places cannot be seen." And what he's saying, it's like we're walking, you know, there is a heaven, there is a hell. And for people who don't know Jesus, it's like they're walking over this great danger, and they don't even realize it. They don't realize the danger that they're in. And so if you are spiritually asleep, then it's time to wake up to who Jesus is. It's time to wake up to what he wants to do in your life. If we back up just a little bit in the book of Ephesians, we read this passage that I just absolutely love in Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 5, it says this, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead, right, because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. Here's the Easter message, right? That's why Christ came. He loved us so much that he died on the cross to take the punishment that we deserve. And when God raised him from the dead, right, that's what enables us to know God, to have a relationship with God, to have our sins forgiven, to be given eternal life. That's all because of his love for us that was demonstrated on the cross. We can be saved. God loves you. He has a plan for you. And that first Easter morning when the women found the empty tomb, they realized that everything Jesus said, that everything Jesus claimed, they realized it was true. And if you keep going in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, it says this: God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. And what this verse tells us is you simply cannot earn your way to God. Your salvation is not based on how good you are or what you've done in your past. It's based on what Jesus did on that cross 2,000 years ago, that he died in your place. And that when he died, he went to the grave. And when all hope seemed lost, he rose from the grave 3 days later, victorious over our sin, victorious over death. And because of that, we now have life. And so I love in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about this exchange that has taken place. Jesus took our sin upon himself, and in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. It says this: for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And that kind of leads us to the second point this morning. Is, yes, we can come together and we can wake up to the good news, but now we also need to realize that we need to rise up to a new life. We need to rise up to new life. We need to not just wake up. Now we've got to live in this new life that God has given us. A life characterized by the things we talked about in Ephesians 5: worship and purpose and gratitude. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to get somewhere and you wanted to go somewhere and you just couldn't get there. And there was kind of roadblock after roadblock. And I've thought about all the trips over the years, our mission trips when we've been flying and we've run into problems. It's happened numerous times. There's one year in particular, several years back, we were flying out of Dulles in D.C. And our team, we had a good-sized team. We were going through security. And as we were walking through security, my phone kind of dings and, getting ready to go through the x-ray machines and all that. And I looked down. I think we were flying American Airlines that year. And I looked up and the American app was on my phone. It says, your flight has been canceled. Now, and Travis actually had taken us to the airport that year and dropped us off. And he was on his way back home. We're like, okay, this is going to get interesting here. So we got through security. We went to the ticket counter inside the airport to try to find out to what we needed to do next. There was a line already of like over 100 people. I got on the phone with Jennifer. She's trying to call and get through. It took her hours. It took us hours. We're trying to reorganize everything, get everybody where they needed to be. We had to split our group up into two places. We ended up both groups spending the night on the floor in the airport because we had nowhere to go. They didn't have enough vouchers. They didn't have rooms to give us. We're just simply wanting to be on the mission field. We're simply wanting to be there. And yet we're stuck right in the airport. And we're like wishing that we were somewhere else. And finally, a day late, we got there. We had to split up, go through two different airports, two different ways, and we got back together. And we ended up having an incredible week, but we were stuck for a while. We were just stuck. And the reason I share that, I feel like that's kind of where we are right now. We want to be somewhere else. We want this to be over with. And right now, we're in the midst of trying to figure this thing out. And what do we do? And where do we go? And how does this work? And we want to get from point A to point B. And God is reminding us that we need to live the resurrection life right where we are.
Yes, we're on our way to something better. But while we're here, we cannot forget that he is with us and that he still loves us, that he still cares about us. He still has a plan for our life. And so wherever you are, whatever you're going through, we have a choice. Do we get frustrated about where we are? Do we get frustrated about the circumstances in our life? Do we look at all the problems that we're facing? Or do we step back and say, we have been saved. God gave, you know, God sent Jesus. He gave his life for us so that we might live. And because of that, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to thank God. That's what a resurrection life looks like. And so Ephesians 5, again, it said this, right? We read this earlier. Don't be drunk with wine. That will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. Making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what controls your life? What are you filled with right now? Is it the Holy Spirit that's leading you to praise him and to thank him and to have joy in your life no matter what the circumstances you are? I read this week. It said, the resurrection reminds us if we will wake up to God, we can rise up to new life. A life filled with purpose. A life filled with God's Spirit. A life filled with his love. A life filled with gratitude. The resurrection is so important. It really is the most important event that has ever happened in all of human history. And we think about that. It even separates our calendar today from BC to AD, the year of our Lord. And we look at this resurrection. We look at this, and even Paul even mentions this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless. You're still guilty of your sins. That's why the resurrection is important. That's why we celebrate Easter. I read another quote this week from David Platt, and he's a pastor. He's written a number of books, but this is what he said. He said, amidst all the headlines that you or I could read today, the greatest news and all the world is that God has come to the world in the person of Jesus. Jesus came to live a life of no sin, to die on a cross to pay the price for our sin, and to rise up from the grave in victory over sin and death. And as a result, anyone, anywhere, who turns from themselves and their sin and trust in Jesus will be forgiven for their sin and restored to relationship with God forever. This means that through faith in Jesus, we don't have to fear sickness or death because we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we have eternal life with God. In other words, precisely because of God and his goodness, we can be confident that COVID-19 will not have the last word. And that's what Easter is all about. Easter is a declaration that no matter how dark the day may be, sickness and suffering, coronaviruses and cancer, despair and death will not be the end of the story. Easter is a celebration that hope is here for every person sheltered in a home, every patient secluded in a hospital, every public servant working on the front lines to help others in need. Ultimately, Easter is an invitation to every single one of us. Trust in the one who came and conquered death. Even in the midst of this worldwide pandemic, you can experience otherworldly peace that will never pass away. So if you're wondering when life is going to get back to normal, here's what I'm going to tell you. It may never be the normal that we are anticipating or expecting, but here's what I want you to know. We can still worship God. We can still celebrate. We can still live the resurrection life, no matter what's happening around us. The New Testament tells us that we have been raised to this life. There's so many places. 1 Peter 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, he lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he'll give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. 1 Corinthians 6 says God will raise us up from the dead by his power, just as he raised up the Lord from the dead. So this morning, We sang a song earlier that I've loved listening to it this week. It's a fairly new song, but it's called Graves into Gardens. And it starts out this way. It says, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along, you put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied. There's nothing better than you. And so my question for you this morning, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know him? And not just know about him, do you really know him? Have you put your faith and your trust in Jesus? Do you really believe? You see, John 20, verse 31 says this. It says, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. And John 3, 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. I want to invite you this morning to put your trust in Jesus, to put your faith in Jesus. Jesus came, he died on the cross, and he rose again so that we could have real life now. And the way you find that life, according to what we've already read and shared, is to believe. Romans 10 says this, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It's by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In other words, it doesn't matter who you are. Jesus died for you. And so this morning, I want to invite you to pray with me. I want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus, if you are spiritually asleep, now is the time to wake up. And if you've already are a believer, if you've already put your faith in Christ and you're kind of sleepwalking, this is God trying to get our attention and say, wake up, be fully alive in Jesus. I'm going to invite you to pray with me right now. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can worship. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we have something to celebrate this Easter morning, that we can come, that we can lift up the name of Jesus, that we can celebrate. And Heavenly Father, my prayer is that for everyone listening, first, if they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today, right now, wherever they're at, wherever they're watching from, that they would put their faith in Jesus, that they would believe, that they would confess that Jesus is Lord. They would believe in their heart that, God, you raised him from the dead, and that they will take comfort in your word that you tell them they will be saved. Heavenly Father, I also pray for the many people who are watching who are believers but who are just struggling. Their heart is heavy. They feel empty. They feel like everything is just leaking out, and they need filling. They need your Holy Spirit to bring them fully alive. Today, my prayer is that they would experience that your presence, your power in a new and fresh way, that they would understand how much you love them and how much you care about them, that you would give them the strength they need. Lord, we're so thankful that when you died on the cross, you paid the price. You paid it all for us. Because of what you did on that cross, Lord, we can be forgiven. We can have new life in Jesus. And so, Heavenly Father, just thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done for us. And we thank you that this Easter morning we can celebrate the resurrection that gives us life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you're watching today online, if you just prayed that prayer to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you just confess that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, I want to just celebrate with you this morning. And in fact, I want to invite you to do something. I want to invite you to let someone know. You can leave a comment right here and say, I just made Jesus my Lord. Or you can go to mycornerstone.fyi, fill out a connection card, and we will follow up with you. We want to celebrate with you. We want to share in this good news that you have today. And if you're watching and you just say, hey, I want to live in this new life, can you just comment amen? And just comment amen. I need your help. I'm going to live this new life in the power of Christ. But let's celebrate one final time today. We're going to sing. We're going to celebrate. We're going to worship because of what Jesus did, because of who he is, because we have so much to be thankful for. Let's worship together.